For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday evening, July the 2nd, 2003. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. George Lee Roy of Toronto, Canada, is the minister on this.
I want to take you, if I can, kind of draw things together a little bit on the day of Christ, on the kingdom, because I can't think of anything more marvelous than Christ in me, the hope of glory in me. It's the most awesome thing to understand that He has come in, taken over this temple as the new proprietor. And as Doc said this morning, he investigates, sees things that shouldn't be there, and somehow he'll use a catalyst or a circumstance to bring you to the place where what he sees comes to the surface. And then ministries of deliverance happen and you are freed as he cleans us out. When I didn't believe in deliverance, and of course I'd heard about Derek, but I used to think that if I come to you, or someone says, well, and some people do, well, you have this spirit. My first question was, well, who tells me that you're clean? And God answered that when He set me free, divinely and sovereignly, and is still doing the job, but at least I knew then that, hey, all ministry, I don't care where it is or who it is, pastors, evangelists, we all need to be free. We all need the cleansing. I'm no better than you, and you're no better than me. We need to be cleaned up. And as we're cleaned up, the kingdom of God will begin to expand. And one day, His glory is going to manifest. Now, right now, I guess we could say we're superimposing ourselves into the kingdom age. Because we're told in Scripture that if we've tasted of the powers of the age to come. So by power of the Spirit, we're allowed through the Holy Ghost that sometimes to reach into that age and bring back something. It happens. And it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. I want joy. And we're told in the Scriptures that His joy will be filled in us and our joy will be filled. He wants us to bear much fruit. He wants you and I to be free. And when we lay hands on someone for deliverance or healing, and He does the work, because, you see, we're working together. We're partners. There's a communion in the Spirit of God that is absolutely wonderful. And many of us have been there. We've felt it. Not all the time. But there are times when you know that that's when the Holy Ghost is moving and you're walking with Him and He's moving inside and there's just this sweet communion. Things happen. I want you to turn with me for a few moments tonight to Luke chapter 17. It's kind of tying in some of the things because I want you, if you're new, to realize that we're in the process of building an ark. I shared this before. In Luke 17, verses 22 through 37, and He said unto the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in His day. Can you picture that around the world? People who have allowed God to build in them, His Spirit has grown. They have allowed the Spirit or the ministry of deliverance, the Holy Spirit through the ministries, to clean out these temples. His kingdom has enlarged and all of a sudden, the glory of God is coming forth. From the north, from the east, from the south, from the west. It'll be around the world. And we read on here, but first must he suffer many things and be repudiated or rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat. Well, that's normal. They drank, and that's normal. I guess it's tea or coffee or ginger ale or something. And they married wives. That was abnormal. I mean, that was normal. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Or it means to unveil or take off the cover. You see, something's happening in here. Something's happening. And so we see here in that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house. How many have stuff in the house? So much stuff. You know what to do with it. Stuff in the house. Let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it or come into being. I tell you in that night there shall be two in one bed. The one shall be taken, paralambano, embraced into union. And the other left or forsaken. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field and the one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto them, where? What locality, Lord? And he says, at whichever spot the body as a sound whole is thither, will the eagles be gathered together. And Thessalonians says we're going to be gathered together with him. Now, in Genesis, and I'll just read the scripture to you. Genesis 6:5, it says, God saw that the wickedness of man, morally, which means morally very bad, was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts, those things that are framed in your mind, those plots, those fabrications, he says, of his heart was only evil, bad. Physically, socially, morally, and it was done continually. And in Genesis, it also says the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Does that remind you of something? We have it today, and it's increasing. It's getting worse. And it says in 2 Peter 2:5 that, and spared not the old world, but preserved or saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. You can't get violent. You can't beat your wife. You can't beat your children or be angry to the place where you know you're grieving God. You can't lie. You can't cheat. Oh, well, I only cheat on my taxes. You can't cheat. There are things that the little foxes that spoil the vines. And there are things that we sometimes lay aside and say, that doesn't hurt. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost in you is so gentle and he's so holy that we should be so sensitive to his presence that we should realize as God's children that he lives here. And so we find that Noah, who was a preacher of righteousness, he preached righteousness. It says that Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the irreverent or the wicked. They didn't know what's happening. Do you know tonight there are God's people that have no idea that God's working in them? For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Work out your own rescue. Work it out. Not be ashamed at his coming. Oh, brother, I'll fly away, oh glory. There is going to be a rood
awakening.
Oh, I can't be. I just can't be perfect. I can't. You know, it's really the natural man, and it sins. Hey, you read 1 John. Awake. He talks about a sin not. And we also read, awake to righteousness and sin not. But we've allowed this false doctrine to kind of, well, we can't help it. It's the old man. Well, get rid of him. Now, I'm not talking about the guy you're married to. I'm talking about the old man that lives inside. Get rid of this thing. And it'll take some deliverance to get rid of some of these things as God brings them to the surface. How many people do you know with roots of bitterness? And that root of bitterness comes up and defiles many. You don't understand, a lot of things don't happen until you have a board. I had a few boards when I was in the assemblies, and they were made to sit on many times. I went into one church, brand new. It was small work. I had no idea that this work that I was being sent to, that God had called me to, was a split off of another church. So as a naive young pastor, I came in, and for 2 years I hung on a cross. Why, I had a little apartment that my wife and I had seen, and so we had rented it. I preached at another church, and when that morning I'd finished, the deacons were in the assembly, and when they came up after I'd finished it, "Pastor, we want you to come because we canceled the lease on your apartment. We have you another one." Wonderful. I figured, oh, hey, that's not bad. Till I saw where it was. And I said, "You cancel this and re-rent the one that I want." And then my first Sunday, we took in $40. So I got my deacons together and I said, "What's going on here?" One deacon said to me, "Well, I don't let my left hand know my right hand's doing." I said, "You do now." And I gave him a package of tithing envelopes and I said, "You tithe or you're gone." Some of them were holding back their tithes. You ever heard of starving out a pastor? We're talking about God's people. We're talking about these things that have entered into God's people because deliverance has not been preached, the remission of those dead works in our conscience for the cleansing that has to come. And so they build up. In one church, I went through 4 treasurers in a year. No wonder I don't have any hair. But what I'm saying to you tonight, God wants us to be holy. And so Noah being warned by divine intimacy of God. Can you imagine? Noah was warned of things not seen as yet. But he was moved with fear. He became cautious, careful to consider all the circumstances and all the possible consequences. He became apprehensive and he prepared. But his was external equipment. His was an ark that everyone could see. And he prepared an ark to the rescue or the safety of his house by the which building of that ark he sentenced the world and became a possessor or a sharer of the righteousness which is by faith. He preached 120 years. And then God said, "Well, that's time enough." Now notice, in Matthew we find in 24:27, "But as the days," and you'll notice that it's the plurality, it's as the days of Noah were, "so shall also the coming," or the parousia, or a being near, or the presence of the Son of Man be. So what's happening in our day?
People are unaware.
And just like in the days of Noah, Christian people I'm talking to. They're building, they're eating, they're drinking, they're giving in marriage, nothing wrong. Those are normal things, nothing wrong with it.
But we read in 6:33 of Matthew, "Seek first the kingdom or the realm of God, and all these other things shall be added unto you."
And so we find that the Lord is speaking now today, and he says, just in these last days, in Timothy, we know that in the last, perilous times, hard to bear times shall come. We know that. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, without self-control, savage, despisers of those that are good. Now that's a litany of bad things. And you know what it says after that? They have a form. They have a semblance. They have an appearance of godliness. And what you see out in that system, if you didn't know any of these things, you'd believe that's all right out there. I mean, you see huge cathedrals, and you see all this thing going on, and you think, well, that's the blessing of God. No, that's not the blessing of God all the time. Because Muslim religion, Hindu, Taoism, Shintoism, huge religions. But I wouldn't say it's the blessing of God. Do you know what it's coming down to? You're almost afraid at times to say too much behind a pulpit because the next thing you know, they'll take you to court and sue you. In Canada, they are all ready to change now the Canada Marriage Act, where homosexuals now can get married, and it's legal. And Toronto is the second San Francisco for homosexuality. We have them in our government. You have them in yours. And so they send somebody into the church. I was telling Glenn, they'll come in once this thing is passed. They'll come into your church, because I told them one church that I know where my daughters are. They're going to the private Christian school. And a few years ago, they had a homosexual. They didn't know it, and he was the bus driver. And they found out. So they let him go. He sued the church and won. So they can come into your service and they can sit here. And if they get a chance over a period of time, they can continue to grow and bring others. And before you know it, they can become the majority. And then they can vote your pastor out, or they can vote new members on the board, and they can vote in teachers. Then where are you? And if you fight them, they can take you to court and sue you. And they'll be looking for churches that are debt-free. And come in and take them over. Oh, you shouldn't say that. Listen, I love the homosexual. I've prayed for some, but I hate what they do and hate what they are vocal. They're a minority, and we need to see God move in those communities and bring them into the saving power of Jesus Christ. I was in a church in Springfield, Missouri, and one man came through. He had just graduated from ORU, and he sat down, and I said, "What do you need me to pray for?" He said, "I'm homosexual." I didn't know anything was wrong until I heard it out there. I didn't know it was wrong to be homosexual. We had to pray for him. I was out in Seattle in a church. Wonderful Christian family had taken in this young man. He said he was a Christian. He said he was Pentecostal. He spoke in tongues. So when I preached deliverance, I found out he was homosexual. So I said, "You need to be free." He said, "All right." I laid hands on him. He went into a slight fainting spell, came back and said, "I don't want it out." He said, "Why should I work for $3.50 to $4 an hour? He says, "I'm on a list in New York that they can call me any time, and they'll fly me any place. And when I get there, they put me in the best hotels, they take me to the best restaurants, they buy me the finest clothes, and I can come back with money. Why should I change?" But he was in the church. We're living in desperate days. We find out in 2 Peter, there's false prophets, religious imposters also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, or disunions, or sects, even denying, or contradicting, or rejecting, or disavowing, all of what God's trying to do. And so they have this godliness. I went to a church up in Ottawa, Canada. And I sat there in the platform with my father-in-law. He got up to share, and the pastor, of course, had led the service, and church was full of young men and women. They had their hands up, and I'm sitting there, and I don't feel a thing. The pastor saying, "Oh, this is wonderful service, the praise and the worship," and I feel like, as Brother Doc said, just a stick. I got up, and I began to preach deliverance. Found out the pastor was homosexual. found out that these young men that were there were homosexual. No wonder I didn't feel anything. And it took forever to pray and try to get them freed.
Believe me, we were only there a few days, and many of them never even got to get prayed for. Many of them didn't want it. So we find that there's this form of godliness that it denies the power of God, and they live unholy lives, and they just don't want to get involved with the presence of God. So he tells us they contradict, they reject, they disavow the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall imitate, obey their pernicious or destructive ways, by reason of whom the way of truth, the route, the journey shall be evil spoken of. You're on the route. You're on the journey. That's why you're here. You're hungry for more of God. You know that there's reality in God. You know that God has given to you the Holy Spirit in your temple. And you know the power's there. And you come and you say, well, I have this problem. Before we used to say, well, pray more. I had someone in the President's Marine Band when I pastored in Southeast Washington. He had 8 children and he had the most gorgeous wife. He was just beautiful. And he brought his wife to me, and he said, Pastor, she cannot keep her pants on. She was a born-again Christian, Pentecostal in experience. You know what I told him? You need to pray more. You need to read your Bible more. You need to come to church more. I didn't know anything about deliverance. And that family broke up, divorced. And I can tell you story after story that there are things in your life and ours, and we know, if we know what they are, and I'm sure many of us do, then we come and say, Lord, I want to be free. I want you to work in me. If it's bitterness, if it's lust, whatever it might be, and lust, it's lewdness, and there's so many areas of lust. Adultery and fornication and all of these things. The masturbation and the oral sex and the filth of demon power. And one of the biggest problems that we have in our churches with our youth is lust. Well, of course, and I'm sure Glenn knows it and Doc knows it, and people would come from other churches because they'd heard we call ours All People's Deliverance Center. And people would come from different churches. And when they came, I would say, well, what church do you attend? And they would tell me, name of a Pentecostal church. I said, then why don't you go to your pastor? Go to my, I can't go to my pastor. And many times they'd say, anyway, he's too busy. Oh, really? Oh, is that right?
Mine's not my cup of tea.
That's right.
That's what we got told.
Yeah. Out there, and I had one pastor, he has a huge church, and he said, when he found out there were some problems, he said, you go see George Leroy. I went to college with this guy. You go see George Leroy, he'll get you cleaned up, and then you come on back. We have areas, and you know what they are. People sometimes say they don't, but hey, you know, when people come to my office, I'll get them to talking and find out their background, and all of a sudden things will start to tell as they speak for out of their mouth. They begin to tell me, well, I just have so much anger, and I write it down.
Or I was so devastated because of some of the trauma that I've gone through and the trials. I am just devastated, and I know that's the Spirit. I'll write it down.
When I'm finished, I'll say, now, let's pray for devastation. How did you know I had that? Believe me. I was in Virginia in a church preaching deliverance. And a lady came to me and she said, Pastor, every time my daughter, and the daughter was 8, every time my daughter comes into the kitchen, if I'm there and I'm doing something, I want to pick up a knife and stab her with it. So I said, let's pray. And as we began to pray, suddenly, as she was praying, God gave her a vision. And all I could hear her saying is she's praying, no, Papa, no, Papa, no, Papa. And when she came around and finished, I said, what was it you were seeing? She said, I saw the little girl running down the hall. And God dropped into my mind incest. She said, I was molested by my father. And somehow this spirit in her identified with her daughter, and she just wanted to get rid of it. God wonderfully set her free.
prayed for another lady down in Newfoundland, and she said, "Pastor, every time I place my couch in front of the bay window, I can't sit in it because I think someone's going to shoot me." And she had fear of being shot. And shortly after that, when I got back to Canada, some folks came all the way over from Michigan to receive deliverance. The man came with his wife. Now she said, "We're getting divorced." Well, I said, "What's the problem?" She said, "Well, I'll have my husband tell you." And so this husband was a hard worker. And so there were times that in their house he'd have to get bathed. Well, his kids were only tiny. So they thought nothing of it. It was Dad's bathing. They're coming. They have to go potty. So they go potty. But over the years, the daughter grew up. And that same standard was there. The door was open. She'd walk in. If he was bathing, then one time as he's in the bathtub, he sees his daughter. And that spirit came to him. So his wife went away for 3 days. And he's laying in his bed, and that spirit is working on him. And finally, he goes into his daughter's room and molests her. And that went on for a number of years, until the girl wanted to commit suicide. And finally, when her mother came home one day, it all came out. She just couldn't hold it in any longer. And she burst out crying and told her mother what had been going on for a number of years. And they brought her over to our church for prayer. The son came for deliverance. You know what he wanted to do? He wanted to get a gun, go up into some high tower, and shoot people. Now, we know that's happened. College campus. Where somebody with that spirit goes up into a high tower with a high-powered rifle and starts killing people. When you go through deliverance, when you know there's an area, and I appreciate our brother's teaching. I just sat and listened. I drank it in. You need to say, "God, I want this. I want to be free of this." And when I say be free of it, I'm not talking about holding on to it. I'm not talking about sitting there letting that devil curse and swear and hey, shut up, you demon. I don't want to hear any conversation, and I'm sure you don't want to hear it. And if you love God, you don't want to stand around and hear it. So let's kick him out, get it over with, and go on. All we have to do is surrender and say, "Lord, your power, if his power's in here." So when his power's working and you are convicted and you know what it is, you renounce it, you breathe in and allow it to go. But lust spirits are tough. You know why they're tough? Because a little thought goes through your head. "I don't want to let this go. I get too much pleasure." Here we had a president that committed oral sex. Well, what do? They cover it up and, well, you know, you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to bring things like that up. I mean, he's the president. But think of the millions of young people who look to that president and to the office, who think if he can do it, so can we. And the devil comes in with lust spirits, and they do what they want, and before you know it, we have a mess on our hands.
Right.
Mess! I was at another convention. In fact, Glenn's been there. And a man got up in this convention, Sonship Convention, played his guitar and sang. I shared testimony on deliverance and what God was doing, and I was allowed to pray for people in an upper room. Now, the man that was there ministering in song, a pastor, came through the door. And when he came through the door, I looked at him and said, "You're homosexual." "No," he said, "I'm not. I'm married. I have 2 children. Then I said, "What are you here for?" He said, "I molest my son and my daughter." I was in the same convention that Glenn was when Bob Mumford was there. And I stood up and just shared testimony and gave an illustration. Gave an illustration of some woman who had been molested and told the story, went back to my motel, and 2 o'clock in the morning I had a lady come with her son, and she said, "If I don't get delivered, I'll commit or kill myself. I'll commit suicide and kill myself. And she told me the story, how she'd been molested by her father. And she had big bust, and she said, I'm fat. And she said, the reason is that I need to be freed. One service I was in, God spoke to me, and a young man came to me. I said, what's your problem? And he said, I'm not going to tell you, but the Holy Ghost said he has a spirit of masturbation. But we have Christian books out that tell you how to enhance your sex life. God wants righteousness. God wants holiness. And when you have him living in this temple, what does he think? When men love darkness rather than light and do those things thinking, nobody sees me. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And so we find out, and I won't go through all of these, but he says he spared not the old or ancient world, but preserved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. In other words, he was equitable in character and action. He was holy and innocent and bringing in the flood upon the world of the irreverent, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. He sentenced them with an overthrow or catastrophe, making an example or an exhibit for warning unto that after should live ungodly. You'll never live ungodly and unrighteous and escape. The day of Christ will never come to you. I'm telling you, never happen. You can cover it up. You can say, well, it's not me. It's my grandfather. I got my mother's temper. It's not me. It's uncle's temper. Oh, well, it's something. Listen, you know as well as I know that spirits of inheritance can be broken and cast out. I want you to think about this. It says, and delivered just Lot. Means right as self-evident. Lot looked right as self-evident. But it says he vexed, he distressed, by the lascivious life with the filthy conversation or behavior of the wicked. For that righteous man, I'm going to meddle a little bit, that righteous man residing or housing permanently among them in Sodom, in seeing, the word seeing in the Hebrew is simply voluntary observation. What's that mean? It means that he didn't have to be there. It means that he just simply voluntarily observed. This righteous man, this just man that God says to us, he just observed the filthy behavior of the wicked. And he dwelled among them in seeing and hearing. So by simple voluntary observation and hearing the act and the sense of those things that he was hearing, it vexed, it tortured, it tormented his righteous soul from day to day with their wicked, unlawful deeds. This was Lot's doing. Hear me. This was Lot's doing. Lot made his own choices. God has given to you and to me a free will. God is not going to hammer you and make you do what you don't want to do. We read in Genesis 13:11, then Lot chose. Genesis 13:12, Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. Well, that's not Sodom, Pastor. And pitched, as clearly conspicuous from a distance, he pitched his tent toward, or in the sense of advance, toward Sodom. Then I read, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And then we read, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom. Major choices. One, two, three. He wanted to see the excitement. He wanted to get in there to the plain. He wanted in Sodom. And he'd purposed in his mind, righteous or not, he was going to get there, and he made the choices he needed to arrive there. Now, what are you saying? I'm saying this. All of us have TVs. All of us have TVs. But you make the choice to watch Animal Kingdom, Discovery Channel, those things that to me are educational. But that's not what a lot of Christians do. They turn on the filth and the degradation and all the depravity, and they look at it and they think, it's not hurting me. Oh, yes, it is. You're opening yourself up to all of hell. You're opening yourself up to all the lust spirits that ever come through that TV. I prayed for a boy who was a homosexual, never got him free. You know who he was in love with? Superman. As a kid, he had watched Superman, and that spirit came into him. He loved Superman. And then he went down the street and had homosexual experiences with others. Never got him free. Never got him free. We think these things don't hurt us. Believe me, we're being in Canada, we're being invaded with the gods of the East. I don't have to mention names. I'm just saying, when they come, they bring their gods. And when they come with their gods, they build their temples. And those spirits have a field day, because you have others. Oh, the ecumenical council. You have to fellowship with. Everybody's going to the same place. Really now. I had one. Well, we have a huge Mormon temple. One of the biggest. And our church was near it. You're going to put my church in one of the rooms they built. And so this gentleman calls up the youth leader. He said, Pastor, he said, I'm so-and-so from the Mormon Tabernacle, this temple. And he said, I'd love if your young people would fellowship with ours. We could have a baseball team and so on. I said, I'm sorry, you're a cult. They're not going to do it. And I hung up. You know, that phone rang for hours. First time I picked it up, he was saying stuff I didn't want to hear. He was so angry. And he filled up my tape recorder that records the calls until it couldn't take any more. You say, what's wrong with that? When your young people fellowship with some church like that, they're going to fall in love. Oh, it can't happen. Oh, yes, it can. Yes, it can. And so the only way you can do is protect them the best you can and ask God to do something. Clean them out. Give them an understanding what it means to walk and live in the Spirit. What it means for God to come into their lives and build His kingdom in here. That one day, if they qualify, and that's what it really amounts to, because He said, a man that puts his hand to the plow and turns back is not well adjusted or fit for the realm of the kingdom of God. Why do you think He tells us about the five wise and the five foolish virgins? The five wise got there, they went in. The others didn't have enough illumination. They didn't have enough enlightenment. Do you realize that you are responsible now to know about deliverance and the kingdom and living righteous? And if you take what you're hearing and you cast it aside, you're in a world of trouble. If you don't walk it out and live it out, what God's telling you in this conference and in this camp meeting, beloved, I'm telling you, you're going to end up in trouble. Going to happen. And so this righteous man found out he was captured. You know why? Because he did not consider all the circumstances or the possible consequences. And there were reasons that he lost his married daughters. There were reasons he lost his sons-in-law. And he lost his sons. And the very end, he lost his wife. You think that you can live the way you please? You can holler at your kids and you can be angry and you can do things that they know are inconsistent with God's word and with the way you're supposed to live and the way the church is saying it, and you live these inconsistent lives and your kids don't see it? They do see it. They see it. And so we find out this woman, Lot's wife, and she lost control because of her emotions. She knew better. Can you imagine two angels leading you out of a city that God's going to judge? And Lot says to these angels, now look, don't take me to such and such a place. I know a place that I can go, and the name of it is Zoar. You take us there because Zoar means lesser place. And so what happens? These angels come. Can you imagine what it must be like for the angels to come to your door? And when they come in, the homosexuals, and I used to wonder, it says children and all, I said, how can this happen? Children. But we have homosexuals now who are adopting. Hello. We have homosexuals now through in vitro fertilization who are bringing
children out. And they tell us, oh my, we won't bother them. Listen, they have to conscript. The AIDS has done such devastation on homosexual communities that they have to conscript them. So they want to get into the Boy Scouts. They have Nambia, you know, men loving boys and all of this. Why? Because they're teaching it in California schools. That this is an alternate lifestyle. And if you're confused with your sexual, whatever it is, if you're confused that you don't know who you are, why, you'll have to look at both sides. So we find, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here, and besides, son-in-law, and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. So, a good parent. Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked, to laugh outright in merriment or scorn unto his sons-in-law. They said, you're just an old fool. If you really believe that, how come you're living here anyway? If you really believe that, Mom and Dad, how come you watch all these colored pictures? How come you allow some of that filthy magazine stuff to get into the house if you believe all these things? We read, yet. Genesis 13:12, it says, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. What's he telling us? He's telling us that there's a higher road. He's telling us that we can walk and live in the Spirit. He's telling us we can go into Canaan by faith and conquer every demon. We can throw out the giants of the land, and we can dwell and walk and live there, because one day we're going to be there. But Lot, he couldn't see that higher realm. He wasn't part of it. So he lived in the plain. We read in verse 18 of Genesis 13, Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre. Now, what's he mean? Well, like Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelled in an oak in the Hebrew. Properly, he dwelled in strength. Isn't it glorious? Of Mamre, that's what it means, vigor. He put himself down. And he was in Hebron, this plain, this oak of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and Hebron means seat of association. So here's this man of God, he builds an altar there, and what's an altar do? It slaughters the flesh. So Abraham knew, as he dwelt in strength, it gave him vigor, he put himself down, and he lived in this seat of association. In other words, he walked with God. Walked with God. And by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place, and the word place in Hebrews means a spot or a condition or a state. I want to live in that realm, that state. I want to live there. Which he should after receive for an inheritance, for a possession. And he obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. So as you and I work out our own rescue internally, and as he builds his kingdom in us, one day, believe me, one day, something is going to happen. And when he comes, there is going to be a revelation. There's going to be an apocalypse of the glory of God that's going to shine forth. That's why we have deliverance, so that we can have his Spirit in fullness. And we can have this glory shine through us. And eventually end up sons of God, part of the body of Christ, and moving and living and helping in the millennium. We've tasted of the powers of the age to come, but think of being in that age. Oh, glory to God. Think of being in that age. And oh, it's not a matter now of struggling with all of these things we struggle with. We'll just speak the word. We'll walk in glorified bodies, and we'll just run. I just can't believe it. Oh, glory to God. It's going to be so wonderful that we ought to hold on to God. And when we have a problem, we don't leave until we're free. Not until we're free of it. Lord Jesus, bathe us with your glory. Bathe us with the anointing. Bathe us, Lord, with the shining power and fullness of the Holy Spirit, and let him dwell up in our innermost beings. Let the rivers of living water flow out like a river, till there's nothing left but him. Oh, I love
I love him, and I know he loves me. And I want him so bad. When we were praying for that dear lady, I said, oh God, speak the word of faith. Just speak the word. Now stop the struggle. Stop the struggle. Just speak the word. Let the anointing come so she can come up and be free. I've tasted of the powers of the age to come, but it's not enough. Shalavarinita. Kavananichi kalavorni. Shulinita la namonte. Oh, Lord. I want to live in you. I want to dwell in you. I want to abide in you. Oh, God. Would you bow? Would you bow your hearts? Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just worship the Lord. Let's just worship the Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God, move in the power of your Spirit. Lord, let the anointing of the Holy Ghost take over. Until, Lord, we who are needy, till we who know that we have areas that we'll just now, through the power that's here, renounce and begin to believe God for the deliverance that's necessary in our lives. Oh, in the name of Jesus, let him love you and let him come to you in power and let him set you free. Let him move and take out the anger. I rebuke anger. I rebuke blasphemy. I rebuke fornication. I rebuke the lust spirits. I bind them in the authority of Jesus Christ. I bind all the violence of hell. Oh, Lord, I bind the molestation spirits and fornication. Lord, I bind those spirits of inhibitions. Oh, begin to breathe in his presence and let God do something. I come against rebellion. I bind rebellion in Jesus' name. I bind pride. Oh, loose him, Lord. Loose him in the authority of Jesus Christ. Breathe in his anointing. Get rid of some of the garbage that we carry around in our lives. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Heal your people. Heal your people, Lord. We pray that you'll heal your people, Lord. Open the deaf ear tonight. In Jesus' name, I rebuke that deaf spirit. Loose that deaf spirit, Lord. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. I take authority over the arthritics. I come against the arthritic spirits, the spirits of infirmity, and I loose the people of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Shalamarin de Sakabando. Oh, living God. Living God. Manifest your power. Manifest your power. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God, we take authority. We take authority over hurt. Oh, God, tonight, we rebuke hurt. Lord, let the love of your Spirit come to the individuals with hurt. Oh, Lord, take away the weeping spirit. And, Lord, we pray you'll bring joy. Lord, joy. Let joy come. Let joy come, Father. Let it bubble up, Father, from the innermost being. And let hurt be dissipated. Oh, God. Touch the broken heart. Touch the wounded spirit. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, I wonder if we could have our organist open my eyes that I might see. If someone would come and play it, open my eyes that I might see. Yes, can you play it on the piano or sing it, dear, lead us. And let's close ourselves in and breathe in. of the power of the Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh. 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 Dear Jesus. How we love you. How we love you. Lord, we don't want to grieve your Spirit. We don't want to quench your Spirit. We want to dwell and abide in you. So help us, Lord, as we live and walk in the Spirit, help us to accomplish and to apprehend that for which we've been apprehended for. So tonight we thank you. May the work that you're doing now continue to work with these that leave and go to rest. Lord, let them receive as they lift their heart to you. We just want you to work. We just want you to do a work. Oh, God. We just want you to do a work in your people. So we cry out as we come to the throne of grace in him. And you said if we ask anything in his name. And that's our standing. That's our place in him. And as we approach you in him and ask in his name, Father, heal, deliver, and sustain and uplift your people. And Lord, may they be refreshed. And Lord, let tomorrow be a new day. Bless the doc. Minister life through him as you have already.
Yes.
Bring the people of God to the place, Lord, where they receive. And Lord, receive what you have for them.
Yes.
And most of all tonight, we pray your blessing upon Glenn. Continue to touch his body.
Yes.
Continue to heal. Lord, those places where surgeons perform their surgery. Touch him. Quicken him. And all the workers. Sustain them. Oh, God. Touch them all. Touch Maury and Ron. Touch Crystal. Touch Patty and Kevin. And Lord, the others that we're not sure of their names, but you know who they are. I just pray strength upon them. And Lord, bless them for their love for you and their labor of love to this camp.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.